And we are the Technology Committee, and today's June 30th, 2010, and it is 8:39 p.m. So I'm going to take the attendance for the public record. Shiram Agamir?
Here.
Oh, Shiram, you're here. Great.
Yes.
Jim Bennett?
Present.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Russell Dale? I know he's... Russell, I believe, is on mute.
Yeah, here I am. I'm here. Sorry.
Yeah. Kathy Davis? I'm here. Stacey Davis? Gregory Isaac? Fred Klunder?
I'm here.
Ali Lexa? Henry Knorr?
Here.
Kimberly Orndorff? Kimberly?
Here.
Kimberly, you're here?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it Salerno?
Summaries? David Salerno?
Yes, that's here.
Okay, Max Schmid?
I am here.
Aki Tanaka? And Marisa Westbrook. All right, so we do have a quorum. 1, 2, 3, 4. It seems we have 11 present, so that's a good presentation. And just starting with at the top of this meeting, I saw an email sent by Russell asking that we send out notices ahead of time. And I believe that the first notice went out yesterday, but I did have the intention of sending out information earlier, and I do apologize for not being able to do that. We've had some developments at our station that were quite a distraction, the fundraising and then other stuff, and so I wasn't able to do that, so I just wanted to apologize at the outset. Also, we unfortunately still don't have minutes. I don't know if Summerese is on the call. Summer, are you on the call yet? No, Summer had agreed to take our minutes, and unfortunately, unless anyone has seen the minutes, I haven't. Has anyone else seen the minutes come in? No. So we don't have minutes. So I think it puts us at a slight disadvantage because just as we were having a discussion a little bit earlier, it's hard to remember where we stand without having those minutes. But I can go over the basics of what we had agreed to work on. And so I'm going to attempt to take notes as well as chair, unless there's someone here who feels that they could take the minutes and send them in so that we'll be able to see them. Is there anyone here who could volunteer for that service for this meeting? Okay, don't all rush in. all right, so one of the important things that we had on our agenda was the subcommittees. We had several subcommittees. One of the subcommittees was to talk about the national broadcasts, best practices. And that group was to be worked on, as I remember it, by Jim Bennett and Otis McClay. However, it seems that kind of was already done, as I understand.
Uh,
Okay. And the other subcommittee was the, I believe there was a proposal put in. Who was it that put forth that proposal? Was it you, Henry?
Yeah, I put in the proposal and have done a bunch of work on the online task force, although it's going slowly. But
right, that's what it was.
About the websites and stuff.
Right.
Kathy, can we go back to the other thing? Because basically, I think what Otis said was that some work had been done on this a few years ago. But what I would suggest that happen is if Otis can get that to me, then I can also add to it the things that I worked on when I was working on national broadcasts and standards. And then I can probably have something by the in-person PNB meeting.
Okay. All right, that sounds like a good plan. Otis, would you be able to do that? Okay, great.
And that way Otis doesn't really have to do much more than that, so.
All right, well, that'll give us a start for working on. I know one of the things that I had spoke to was that so that the that there would be, I don't know if a book is a word, or some kind of document that that the technicians at each station could share that would sort of codify whatever the processes would be, and for the producers, you know, whatever the process would be in proposing something, and what technology would need to be in place for something to happen. And I believe we also talked about being able to broadcast from the local area, so it wouldn't necessarily have to be generated from one of the five stations, that perhaps one of the affiliate stations might have something regionally that would be of national interest. So the goal, as I remember it, was that it would be something that would be useful on a very large scale. So I think that would be something that would be...
I'm also, this is Jim, I'm also on the programming committee, and the programming committee last meeting, there was something passed that did, I added...
not here.
A line that basically said that in the event of a, I don't have the wording right in front of me, but in the event that an important event, and that it wasn't redundant like that, but I'm really tired, it happens outside of the five signal areas, Pacifica will make every effort to ask for assistance from the appropriate Pacifica affiliates to cover that event.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. Well, when you get a moment, could you forward it to our group so that we could take a look at it?
Yes, I will.
That would be fabulous. Okay, so does anyone else want to have input into that particular effort on the national broadcast or have any comments on that? No? Okay, so the next piece that I remember was the online task force. Have we been joined?
It's just Henry coming back. I got cut off, but I'm back.
Okay, great. So why don't we talk about any progress on the online task force?
Well, I'll address that. Basically, where it stands is that I developed this pretty elaborate Excel spreadsheet for kind of assessing the websites of each of our stations and some other ones that I thought would be useful. maybe I overdid it. I thought originally I thought it could be done in a half an hour. Having done that inventory for three or four stations now, it actually takes hours if you actually answer all the questions. And a lot of the sites have a lot of hidden features that I wasn't aware of originally. A few people, I think, sent in kind of very partial some comments about the sites from other areas, and Bill did a pretty thorough one for KPFT, but I think it, at this point, I think, I haven't gotten a lot of response. Maybe I should have been writing people more, but I think what the way to move forward with it is, I think we should have a somewhat different approach, and I want to propose this, which is that based on the information that people have sent and the work that I've done, and I'll do some more, I will commit to writing a report by next month, with maybe not quite as thorough on some of the stations, but I think I can get done a basic assessment of where the websites are at and a little bit of a introduction and framework and argumentation about why it's important to invest in the websites and improve them, and some of the kind of overall assessment of what we're doing well and what we're not doing so well, and put that out as a draft to everybody, and then I think maybe once we have that, people have that in hand, maybe people will comment and add or subtract from it or want to change it or whatever. I think that might be a way to get more people involved. I'm sort of feeling like, well, this is a pet project of mine, and I know other people, thought it was a worthwhile idea, but I think we haven't had the real, I know everybody's super busy and everything, there hasn't been a lot of participation, but I think if I draft something, that'll get us started. I don't know, what do people think about that?
Well, that sounds good to me. I do remember that when the committee was formed, a lot of people volunteered for it.
Right.
Were you able to have any communication with the folks who volunteered to help with it?
Well, I sent out a few things and basically didn't get much response. But some people had some comments, but my elaborate spreadsheet, Bill, is the only one who really took it, did it pretty thoroughly, and myself. So maybe that's a comment on, maybe that indicates, as I said, that I overdid it. But I'm actually, even though it's taking me a lot of time, I'm actually enjoying it, working through it, and actually learning a lot about the websites at the station. So I think I had hoped to have something done by this meeting, but I've been got involved a lot with the flotilla stuff and Gaza, and didn't have so much time. But I expect to have more time in the next month, and I think I can really get something done that'll get us started, and we can move ahead and come up with a group effort based on that, I hope.
Okay. Well, I think one of the things that's challenging to all of us is that, as was said earlier, it's like we have so many responses across what we do. It's difficult to...
For sure, absolutely.
...in on this stuff. I know I've found the same difficulty.
Bill, for the
so tech. So I totally understand. Okay, that sounds good. Does anyone have any questions, perhaps, or suggestions going forward on the online task force?
Yeah, this is Bill.
Yes, Bill.
Hi, and thanks, Henry. I was just going to say, it only took me, I don't know, probably half an hour or so to do that, maybe less. It was basically just fill in some blanks on the spreadsheet, and most of it I didn't even have to look up because I'm pretty familiar with our website, but maybe it would help if you mentioned the three other stations that you need a volunteer from, and maybe somebody on this call could, from those stations, would volunteer. It could be somebody different than you've ever said before.
Sure. I think, did Russell volunteer last time to do something from BAI? BAI, I don't know that site at all. And
yes, I did volunteer, and I'm sorry. I just haven't had it's been so hectic here. I haven't had a chance
to understand. I'm not trying to guilt-trip anybody.
I'm sufficiently guilt-tripped. I'm sorry. I'll definitely try to get to it this week and get it to you.
If you can, that would be great. And Ali said he would. I think Ali's on the call now, right? Ali said he would help with Kay, but I know the Kay side a little bit, so I've done some of that myself. But PFW. I don't know who is anybody who can work on that one.
You could even be from another station. Just go to their
website. I can do it myself as a, you know, coming in as an outsider, not with any background in it. At least I can, you know, do a preliminary thing, and then maybe from that, if you know there are corrections or additions or whatever, that maybe it'll be easier for somebody else to.
Do you have the person who does the web work for each station? Because maybe that would be something to just supply you with all of the webmasters or web workers' emails.
Well, that would be great. That would be great. I mean, my thought was that we should do some preliminary work before approaching them on the theory that they're busy and don't like to be bugged by governance. But absolutely, we definitely need to talk to all those people. Sure, it would be helpful if people could, email me the names and email addresses for those people.
Okay.
Just Bill, I have something else too.
I mean, they may not have the time, but at least we could let them know that we're working on this project, and since that might be a good place to at least seek out the information. I have a question, Otis, if I may. Are we still working to link everything into one site? Or is there some effort to make a one unified site for all the stations?
Well, that's the ultimate plan. We've been doing some other things which have sort of... but the big deal is we need to make some choices about the Pacifica website.
Okay.
I've actually talked to a couple of people about that, but now Henry, I guess, is collecting information, so we'll see what he comes up with.
Yeah, so like maybe what he's collecting can help you in your process as well.
Well, the bottom line is we have to decide what we think this website is for and what it's supposed to do. That's kind of information that's never been done.
Okay.
I'm sorry, question. Is this Henry? I didn't catch. You mean the Pacifica website itself?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's a very complex and difficult to navigate and so forth. So.
Mm-hmm.
But the way you resolve issues like that is you figure out what is this website for? What do we want it to do? What's its purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a mistake to make it, you know, have everything for everybody at all times.
Yeah, well,
but
I guess
the KPFTX website, which right now pretty much comprises the whole governance database and the whole governance system, would go to the, you know, to the national website. That's where it should be. But I haven't done anything because it actually has a presence there, but I haven't done anything because we really need to figure out how we want to do this. So, and there's been enough other stuff going on.
Okay.
Kathy? This is Bill.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah, something else kind of related to what Henry was talking about, too. We at the last in-person PNB meeting, for those of you that you're not on the PNB, we had a discussion about forming a promotional task force that was to present some recommendations to the PNB at the July in-person meeting in Berkeley, which is coming up in about 3 weeks or so. And it hasn't really done a lot. We had one meeting, one discussion, and a few smaller ones with only a few people. One of the things we talked about was from promoting our stations is using our websites more effectively, having content there that people will be interested in, that want, you know, that have something there that they want to get at the information, so they'll go there. Things like what's coming up on our programs, or how to link to the archive, what's been on some of the recent programs, and that kind of stuff. So some of that stuff is on the questionnaire that Henry put together on that spreadsheet. So if it would be helpful to get that as soon as we could, even if it's incomplete, because we might include that in the report.
Okay. Well, that will give us a little bit more information at our next meeting as well. And unfortunately, from my home computer, I'm not able to connect to the internet. But I know that we set on the calendar our next, I think, at least 4 meetings. So at the moment, I don't recall what the next meeting will be, but I think it's the end of next month. So that would give us some opportunity to really work on these projects a little bit more than we have. Does anyone else want to comment or ask questions about the online task force? Okay.
Oh, Kathy?
Yes, who is it?
Bill again. I'm just looking at the KPFTX calendar, and we have a meeting scheduled for July 28th, Wednesday, fourth Wednesday in July.
Okay, July 28th. Okay, so that's good. So, you know, it seems we got quorum this meeting pretty early. Hopefully the next time we will as well. And we'll be able to go a little bit deeper into these things. Another thing on our agenda that we had been discussing from the beginning was the situation with the sound exchange. I know at BAI we're going through this process again of recording the music. Is there anyone who can report on sound exchange? Is there any new information? I saw something about Pacifica is no longer going to be doing any podcasting. Is there anyone who can comment on that, bring us an update? Is anyone?
I have a question, Kathy?
Yes.
Where did you see that? And that's news to me. And actually, there's
WBAI webmaster
of podcasting now.
You may want to have Otis try to respond to that.
Go ahead.
Well, I didn't see anything official, but
Otis would know the answer if he's still listening.
Give me the question.
I was asking about the situation with Sound Exchange.
Oh, well, we'll make our reports. The report, I'll be reporting this by the end of this next week. I mean, I'll probably do it, you know, this weekend.
Otis, a question come up. That some people had heard that Pacifica would no longer be doing any podcasting. Is that correct?
The trouble is there's this whole issue. I don't think that it's been, you know, resolved. How we're going to handle that. I
can read you the memo that was sent to the WBAI staff. It's right in front of me.
Well, many memos get sent.
Well, this one was from the webmaster saying that all links to pods were taken down.
Yeah, I saw what he did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, I mean, here's the... I can just tell you this. Legally, we cannot podcast or allow downloads of files that have any copyrighted material in them that we don't own. That's the legality. Nobody has yet come after us, and you know I don't expect that they will. But the solution for the time being is either put your show together with music you own, or do what they do at WMNF, where they'll take a show and cut out the music and then upload.
Basically,
that.
What we do is, as the show is airing live, we record a version that doesn't have any of the music on it, and then edit out the gaps by using a different routing or bus on the board. So we just take the music out of that other mix, and then all we have to do is edit out the gaps, and then it's done.
That makes it too easy, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that means that we can't archive automatically. Theoretically, we can't even allow a file to be visible on the net. It has to be served. And the archive, I don't know if they do it at WMNF. The archive that I have will do that, but I have to upgrade like three of them. Currently, KMUD is the only station that's using that ability.
Could you explain
that? That's what I'm actually working
again?
On today. Theoretically, you cannot. If you have any, theoretically you can archive copyrighted material for 14 days. I think, Jim, you correct me. But you cannot allow that file to be accessible. In other words, the rules say you can't be able to skip through it or anything like that, which means that the file has to be served by a little server so that all you can do is play it as though you were listening to a stream.
That is correct.
That's the rule.
And we at WMNF have decided that we only allow, in essence, those streams with music on them to be available for 7 days.
Yeah.
And if it's public affairs content only without music that we don't own the copyright of, then we can leave them up for much longer than that.
Yeah, and I think that the different stations, I don't think we have built a, you know, some kind of overall policy on this. But I think, you know, what I'm doing is we're actually working on upgrading the KPFK archive for those and other reasons. And I'm going to have to do KPFT and WBAI, although BAI actually has the latest version. I'm not sure how Michael is using it at this point. And I can say that Flash is not usable for this. Flash, you know, some people say, well, we can use a Flash player. Flash player has to access the file, I think. We're looking into that. Anyway, the work on the archive and that issue is actually being addressed.
So there's really nothing too much that we can do about this. We just have to figure out what the regulations are and try to...
Yeah.
I guess the station's uniform.
Yeah, and it's worse than that, because theoretically you're supposed to keep track of the music that's being listened to off the archive.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to, that's supposed to count as part of the copyright count. So that means that...
This is Henry. Can I ask a question of Jim?
Sure.
Yes, Jim.
You said the public affairs shows, after you've removed the music, can stay up for a much longer time. My understanding is that the Sound Exchange agreement doesn't in any way restrict shows that have music.
They do not restrict shows that do not have music. If you do not have an agreement with a particular person that you're interviewing that allows you to, in essence, have an archive of their interview forever, it would be better for you to have them sign a release that says that you may archive the interview. Not that there would be that many instances where someone being interviewed would not appreciate there being an archive of their thoughts or their discussion, but it's better to ask than to not ask and just do that with a release, and then you're covered should somebody decide that you've been playing it, you know, too long, and then come back and say, take that off immediately. I mean, theoretically, that could happen, but... you know, you can. It really depends on it primarily boils down to how much server space that you have in terms of how long you keep things up. It may be that you'll arbitrarily say we can afford to archive all of our public affairs programs for a year, and then so that to make more room on the server, we have to take them off after a year. But that would really depend on, you know, your setup. So,
this is Fred. What would it cost to keep our programs up for 10 years?
You know, that's really dependent on your own system that you have there. I don't, you know, it may be that you already have robust enough, and then, you know, how many people do you want to be able to log on at once to listen to your audio? You're paying for server space. You're paying for the bandwidth that allows people to listen to a stream. So if you can only, you know, if that's different than your on-air stream, it's bandwidth. So,
I guess I'm asking for a straw man from your side. I mean, many of us work with environments where storage area networks in the terabytes are something we take for granted. So, if you can give us a sense of what you would want to do and what the dollars are that you think would be involved. I think it would be good to work it from that end as well.
Yeah, storage. I mean, it's really hard for me to say. We have some archives here at WMNF going back 3 years. We haven't made a conscious effort to remove anything. And certainly, really, people going back in and listening to the archives, you don't get a lot of people listening at once. You might get you may get a lot of people listening to a program when it's live, but the hits, unless it's something like the Kagan hearings that just happened today, if people can go back in and listen to those, you're going to have a huge active re-listen to, you know, something special like that. Or if you've done a really incredible interview with somebody that is closed out of mainstream media, which would certainly get a lot of the people that we have on our air. You may get more hits at the beginning. So it just really depends on your infrastructure, and, you know, you can make the conscious decision, well, we can really do this for X amount of years, and then you're fine. It's just what you can currently support. If you actually have to go out and get more server space to do it, then you might go, I don't know if we can do that this year, but if we can... Actually, if we can have this many interviews or public affairs shows in the course of a year, and that's not going to put a strain on our current setup, then I don't see why you can't do that, and then you could make a decision at the end of 1 year as to whether you can carry it forward or whether you'd have to, you know, take some of the older stuff out off. So.
Yeah, I understand that. I guess, and this may be off base, but I run a large IT group, and I would think it would be useful if people at the station would perhaps give us a couple of scenarios of an ambitious nature as to what they would like to do, and we then can work down to the cost and the feasibility of doing it.
I'm sorry, who is this just talking? Hello?
This was Fred Klunder.
Oh, okay, hi. Yeah, okay. Well, it's an interesting proposition. I know at WBAI, I don't think we have had the archives accessible for that long. I think it's more in months than years, certainly. But I don't think we have a very big server.
I think you want more than a big server. I think you want a very sizable disk array. I think the term nowadays is storage area network. It's all about dollars, but it's got to start with a blue sky scenario. We have fabulous content. Stuff like Alan Watts is still great nowadays after 30, 40 years, and I can't imagine why things like here in L.A., McNally, and other programs shouldn't be online for 10 years. It's just fabulous stuff. Even the fact that it's dated is wonderful in terms of just the historical sense of the way the world moves and the way our views of it move. But I propose that if it's not too much work, that we get a desired scenario from IT staff at the network, just in terms of what it is, what kind of storage is required, and just a real rough on what kind of bandwidth implications there are for various sets of interaction over the line.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, maybe that could be one of the questions in the survey. Of the online task force survey. At the point we start speaking to the webmasters, we could ask them that.
Yeah, this is Henry. I'm actually trying to figure out how long the different stations, how far back the archives go, although it's a little, so on some stations it seems to vary a lot by program and stuff, so it's a little hard to generalize. But the business about the storage size would definitely have to come from the webmasters or the tech people. I think sum up what Jim was saying and clarify that because there's a little bit of paranoia about the sound exchange thing. I think Jim confirmed my understanding, which is that as far as public affairs programming goes, if we get out the copyrighted music, then it's not a sound exchange issue at all. The issues that the stations then have to deal with that kind of programming are storage capacity and some bandwidth issues, although, as you said, probably not, you don't get a lot of hits on old public affairs. But and then beyond that, there's the question of prudent cautious getting sign-offs from interviewees just as a matter of prudence and courtesy.
Yeah, it's just best to let them know, and usually it's not going to be a problem, but at least if you let them know in advance, then they won't come to question it, 3 years from now, if you've still got this interview up, hey, I didn't know you were going to do that. So.
Right, but I mean, some people are saying that because of sound exchange, we have to limit all the archiving releases.
That's not true. It's just if there is copyrighted material in that.
Right.
For instance, okay. If for some reason, but again, it's not music, but for some reason, if person X does a lecture and they copyright the lecture, they're on a book tour, and their publisher says that you cannot broadcast this beyond an initial broadcast, then you wouldn't be able to archive it. So if there's some sort of agreement that says you will not archive this beyond an initial broadcast, then you know that with speaker X that you'd really like to archive, you can't do it. But that's the only thing. And, some stations are in fact, if they want to use music on public affairs shows, they are creating original themes for which they own the copyright so they have the rights to broadcast it whenever they want, and that way it can be available on a podcast because it's not, under the jurisdiction of all the people on Sound Exchange. So.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. All right, so I guess everything is kind of a work in progress. And let's see. I think that those are the major issues that we had on our plate. I don't recall any other. Is there someone on the line who wanted to add to this or recall something that we had started that we didn't get to as of yet?
Bill again.
Yes, Bill.
Sorry to do so much talking, but I had this idea a while back, and I can't remember. I think we missed it, briefly mentioned it, but Maybe somebody can tell me if this wouldn't work. I'm an engineer. I like to look for engineering solutions, you know, sometimes. Mm-hmm. But imagine when you have on the console for the input where you have a CD. I'm assuming most of the music we play is coming from CDs, although I guess some of it might come from especially from an MP3 player or something. But for whatever input you're going to use for CDs, if you use that only for music and not for like a recorded interview, use a different input, then we could probably wire the start switch. All those have remote start-stop contacts. You could probably wire that to mute the music before it goes to the whatever device you're recording in or archiving it on. Or maybe even pause the recording. I'm not sure that would work necessarily depending on the software you're using. Would something like that take care of this?
It could, but in case that start stop doesn't work for some reason in some time, then you may have lost a key part of the interview. So, 9 times out of 10 it wouldn't fail, but that 10th time you would really kill yourself. Or maybe it's 99.9% of the time it wouldn't fail, but that 0.1% would really get you. But it's just better to be able to record the whole thing and then, or maybe you do that as a backup to the start-stop failing, but, do it at least two different ways so that if one fails, you've still got something else. And then if you're already taken care of with your start-stop, then you wouldn't have to go in and edit out the silences of the extra recording without the music. But I personally feel like it'd be better just to have that kind of control over it and just go ahead and record the whole hour or whatever it is and route it so that the music doesn't end up on this extra recording. And that's much easier to deal with. But I guess it's a good advice in any event to maybe record it in two different ways so you don't lose it anyway, because the other way could fail too for some reason.
So you're talking about taking a different output from the console.
Yes, like you could have,
instead of the program.
For instance, if you have an audition bus on your board, the air bus is program, and you put everything in program and audition except the music. And you just leave the music and program, and then when you record in audition, you get everything but the music.
Okay, so it just takes some training to make sure the board operators know what not to put on the audition bus.
I think where the complication with that would be is that at least in WBAI, aside from the sort of the work day from 6 to 6, we don't have board ops. The producers engineer for themselves. And the other complication with that is that we often have interviews on CD or other components that are not music that might have been a pre-interview edited, and it would be playing on a CD as well. So you would still need to be able to switch and access that to your program. You wouldn't want the interview to not record, to archive.
Right, but I don't consider that to be a problem unless you're thinking that you have to record on a CD player that you're needing to play back on the air because you don't have enough CD players. But you can also basically record this on, if you have any sort of audio software on a computer that can take a signal from your board, you can route it so that that computer only gets what you want it to get. And so if there's a way in which you can devote a computer to recording that, even if it's in another room in the station, then that's the way to do it. But if you really have just one person and they have to set up this recording in this room and another recording in the on-air studio, it's an extra step that they have to take.
Yeah, well it's an idea. It's an idea. I mean, I think technically it could be done. Just logistically, it seems very difficult for...
It can be done. You do have to actually set up a, in essence, a instruction guide
so that people who are on the go can do it quickly and just have it as the checklist of things that they have to do in terms of getting ready for their show is, you know, go to room X and do this, this, and this, you know, 15 minutes before your show begins or whatever, and then go back and do it, do your show. But, you know, you can set up a process. We do that here. We train people on how to do it, and some of them are doing it all by themselves. So if they have a really complicated show, then sometimes we actually do have an engineer who does their board hopping anyway, and that engineer would be responsible for doing it. So, yeah, it's a lot if you're, you know, having a major call-in show and you're hosting the show yourself and board hopping. It would be nice in some instances to have somebody else concentrate on various different technical duties.
Well, I guess we could only speak to the resources that we have at our individual stations, and I think that that would be, I think that that's a more complex answer for my particular station, but it might work for some.
Well, it may work for all, but it is a matter of training and also having some engineers set up a process that's easy and workable, or easier and more workable for your particular environment. So,
well, yeah.
I mean, certainly I know that it can work at a station like KPFA. I can't speak of any of the other stations. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's cool. That's cool. I'm just, you know, I do a program in which I engineer for myself, and, you know, on the one hand, you're trying to feed in all the information to Sound Exchange, and it just seems complex.
Yeah, it's one extra step. So.
Yeah, very complex, but, you know, it's an idea. Okay, but at any rate, we have to come up with something that's going to work. So, all right, maybe we can... I know, I'm adding that to our minutes.
I'm willing to work with any engineer at any station to try to, if they need help or observations about how to do something like that, I'm certainly willing to try to help if I can be helpful.
Okay, and who is this?
This is Jim.
Jim, okay. Cool.
You know, I don't assume that I will be helpful unless they feel that I can, so.
All right, well, that's an idea. Okay, so. Is there anything else that either of you or any of you want to bring to the table at this point? No? Okay. All right. Well, then, if that's the case, I think we might have gone as far as we can, considering that a lot of our work is still in process. Can I have some suggestions on what we might to begin to construct our agenda for the next meeting? Are there any things that we want to add to our agenda of what we're considering?
Battery went out.
Who was that?
I had one quick thing too. The Bill
Salero. My battery went out. Sorry.
Yes. You said you had something.
Oh yeah. Well, something we brought up before, and I had checked with Otis on, but about the idea of changing the automatic notice for the meetings.
Right. Yeah. Is it possible to do that, Otis? That we be notified a week in advance? For the meetings?
Actually, I checked with him a couple of weeks ago. See, it would be easy to change. It just, you know, I wanted to, and I sent a note out to the PNB. I got no responses, though, so I just like to just bring on what we want.
I'll tell you what my thinking was. If you do it a week in advance, that's enough time to tuck it away and forget it. That's why it's a two days in the same day. I would not, you know, I will obviously do whatever everybody agrees on, but I wouldn't recommend moving it much earlier than that.
Well, a day or two, I would say.
Well, it's the day before and the same day right now. And it's totally arbitrary, you know, when it is. So it could be any other time, but My thought was it shows up in your email the day before and reminds you. If it's a week before, it'll remind you and then you'll forget it. That's
but a day before it reminds you when you say, well, I've got three other things planned for that day. Come up in the meantime.
I can't imagine that we don't want to schedule our time in advance. I, for one, want to be deemed non-present if I get a notice 2 days in advance that I've got some other commitments.
Well, the only thing I can say is that the attendance has definitely improved. So I don't know whether that's a result of the email reminders or whether it's a change in the culture. But
why don't we do both?
Fewer meetings. I think that you have to. This is one of those things where you sort of want to, you know, figure out what you want to do, and then everybody gets to agree on it. You could send out notices every day. It's completely arbitrary when it goes. Okay, and so it could be done at any time at the pleasure of the board and the committee members.
Okay.
Right now, it is not set up to be able to do separate dates for different committees, although that's also possible. It could be done.
Okay. All right, so Otis, what you're saying is that this is something that has to be determined at the PNB level?
Well, no, I think it's a general agreement among all the people who, you know, show up for committee meetings when you think it would be most appropriate to remind you, what would be, and I look at it from the point of view of what's most effective in terms of getting people to show up for meetings, you know, to the extent that notification has something to do with that.
Kathy?
Okay. Yes.
But whatever you want to do is fine.
I did send a note about this to the PNB a couple of weeks ago, and the only person basically said, if there's no objections, let's ask Otis to change the first notice to a day or two earlier. And the only person who responded was Arlene. She just said, if there's anything she needs to do, let her know. So I take that as people don't care, so whatever this committee probably wants to recommend, I think would probably be fine.
All right, then how about, Otis, would you be able to change for just this committee to make it maybe 5 days earlier? So what you're saying is that whatever the system is, it has to be true for all the committees. Correct. If everyone on the PNB agreed to make the first notice earlier, would that be complicated for you to do? And all the
This is Russell for the SPAC.
Yes, Russell.
Otis. What have you coded the software in? What's it coded in? You can parameterize it so that you could do it for different committees? I mean, there aren't that many.
No, there are a lot.
I do. I'm just asking. Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. So I guess for the time being, we won't be able to change that. But I think that it is helpful that we've set up our dates.
Yeah, I guess.
We've set up our dates for the next 3 or 4 meetings. So perhaps we can try to remind each other rather than put the burden on Otis.
I think that's a good idea, David.
Yeah.
Kathy, you know, this has come up in 1 or 2 other committees, too, and so I just suggest we just, you know, ask him if that's okay, or just change it for all the committees, make it one day earlier, and we need to remind people to, you know, put these meetings on their calendar. All the meetings are set far in advance, and if anybody isn't sure, they can go to the KPFTX calendar.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to do it a day earlier. I have no problem with that. Putting that first notice, we can put it anywhere. I mean, that's easy to do.
Okay.
So if we want to say a day earlier, we could do it a day earlier.
Okay. I just don't know that we should do that without all the other committees feeling the same way.
Yeah, I don't know. And, you know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of interest, frankly, given the response they got. So.
Okay.
So the other thing to do is just do it and see what happens. You know, see if you get complaints.
I'll take the hit. I'll send a note to the PNB saying, per some request from several committees, technology committee is asking Otis to change the first notice to a day earlier.
Yeah.
And then, we probably won't get any complaints, and a few people will say thanks, and people that don't care won't say anything.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. Okay, well, okay, so I guess, you know, we've kind of come to the end of our discussion. Is there anything, does anyone want to bring up any other topic for this evening? No? I guess then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Ready. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.